The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
And welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. We're here in front of a live studio audience.
Yay!
At the East Meadow Public Library for our 102nd live show, courtesy of the East Meadow Public Library. I am here with my co-host, L-Man Jenny Felding.
Oh!
And I'm here with our special guest, who we're going to be talking to with and about, which is awesome because he's right here, Mr. Kelly Gordon.
Hello, everyone. Everyone out there in Radio Land.
So just for people who might be coming in late, our guest who we were supposed to have, which is Dr. Damel Elliott Hubbard. She was an author. She got stuck on a train for 2 hours.
She was stuck
on a train for 2 hours. She is not able to make this show, so we will reschedule her as soon as possible. So I want to thank Kelly for coming down, stepping in for us to talk about the MCON.
Oh, well, thank you for letting me come in and talk about MCON. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
All right.
So and this show is possible because of Kelly, our guest today.
That is
so
correct.
Extra thanks.
Yes, that's actually true.
As I mentioned, we're going to be talking to, with, and about Kelly in just a few minutes. But before we do any of that, we have to take it away with the news. The news is brought to you in part by the fine folks of sci-fi.radio, that is sci-fi
for your Wi-Fi,
as well as the fine folks of the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show of, celebrating over 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. Their next convention is scheduled all the way in November for the 21st. Tickets are not on sale right now. Also want to give out shout-outs for our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, Newsday famous Dresden Media, Shadow Rabbit Art, Yasmin Array, The Huracan, and Lily Portes. If you want to have your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromtheradio.com. There's a little button on there that takes you right to our Patreon page. Also, on the It Came From The Radio website is my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its way to planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain ability. Issue 1 is on sale right now, and issue 2 will be out next month in April, just in time for the MCON. Let's see, as we always do, we start off with the sad news. So we have two bits of sad news. Actor Corey Parker died recently of cancer. While Corey was in a handful of movies and TV shows, he is perhaps best known for his role of John Morgan, the ship's doctor, for 25 episodes in the Robert Urich led Love Boat The Next Wave, which ran from 1998 to 1999, and which I remember him the most as Neil Barash in the Fox series Flying Blind, which ran for 22 episodes from 1992 to 1993. I was a big fan of the Fox shows when they first came out, because that was the hip and cool thing to do, because back in the day, for the people who don't know, there was only three networks back in the day, and then Fox came along, and they had all the edgy and crazy stuff. And I distinctly remember Flying Blind was supposed to be some wacky, crazy comedy about a straight man and the flighty girl. So it was basically like Dharma and Greg, but that was their version. And he played the Greg character of Dharma and Greg. Kelly, do you remember that show, Flying Blind, by any chance?
No. But you mentioned something about the Love Boat. That's correct.
The Love Boat.
The doctor, right?
The new one. The Next Wave.
The new wave. No,
when they brought that back.
I only remember the old wave.
Oh, the old wave.
Yeah, that was my thing. Right after Fantasy Island.
Yes.
Oh, Fantasy Island.
You never watched the Love Boat, Jen?
No.
No.
Do they have Love Boat now, 2026?
I don't think so. I don't think they have.
I feel like if they did, there would be like all these like polyamorous relationships. I just have to say, because I'm 42. Listen, I'm not going in a lewd direction.
Okay.
I'm 42. I'm a good Christian woman. You know that. I've been around a lot of people in their 20s recently, and I've been enlightened by the people 20 years younger than me that polyamory is like normal thing in that generation. And this is new to me this week. It's very fascinating. So the Love Boat would probably be a polyamorous boat if it was made in 2026. That's what I have to say.
He was 60 years old.
Well, they'll throw into that. Okay. You know, I think now they have like reality shows that pretty much will take over those kind of like, you know, TV shows, mm-hmm. or whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, you have so much like reality with, you know, Love on the Island and
right.
all those other things as I see nowadays on Netflix, especially. I don't watch it.
You just know of it.
I just see it. But I mean, there's your love boat right there. You know, basically.
Yeah.
So, buddy, last bit of sad news.
Sure.
Actress Jennifer Runyon, also died recently, also from cancer. While she was also in a handful of movies and TV shows, she is perhaps best known for her roles as Cindy Brady in the 1998 reunion movie A Very Brady Christmas, and she also played Anne, the female lead, in the 1993 film Carnosaur, and what I remember her most as Gwendolyn Pierce in 18 episodes of the sitcom Charles in Charge, which ran from 1984 to 1990. There are certain people that you just kind of see around, and there's certain people that are in a movie that they have a little tiny role. What's the saying? There's no such thing as a small actor or a small role. I forget what the saying.
Yeah, I don't like the saying, so I don't care.
So for those of you who watched Ghostbusters, the original Ghostbuster movie, there was a scene with Bill Murray, and there was a blonde girl in the beginning when he's doing the tarot card readings.
Mm-hmm.
That was her. So people are like, oh, her, but she was more in other things, but that was people who can remember her from that.
These people were 60 years old and 65.
65 years old, yeah.
It's pretty young.
Yeah, it is. And they both got cancer, which is...
Cancer is very rampant, by the way, now.
Yes, yes.
The rates are higher.
I'm very well aware of that. So that's it for the sad news. So moving on to the not as sad news from the...
That's a lot of nuts!
Department. The new Scream sequel, Part 7, for those of you keeping track, has taken the number one spot in the domestic box office, pulling in $63.6 million in ticket sales in its first week of release, beating out the newly animated film Goat, which came at the number two spot, making an additional $12 million in its second week of release. For those of you keeping track, Avatar is still the highest grossing film of this year, that's Avatar Part 3, with $401.7 million, followed by the Zootopia sequel with $426.4 million. Now, as I've been saying since we've been doing the show this year, because both of these movies came out last year, the numbers are slightly skew, and Avatar has made this year $151.4 million, and Zootopia has made $88.5 million. Goat comes in at number two with $76.5 million. So those are the top three movies of the year so far. Jennifer, have you seen any of those three movies? No.
No, I don't know anything about them. But
Kelly, have you seen?
I did not see the Scream 7. No, I have not. But I did see Goat with my son. You know, I do have to say, it makes a good father and son trip to go to the movies and watch the Goat. You know, my son is into, he's at that age, he's like around, he got 11 going on 12, or I should say going 11 on 25.
Really?
And the way he's starting to act nowadays. But, you know, he's into basketball and those kind of things too as well. And seeing like more of like a character, like just as the Goat as you play it, you know, such like a slice of life growing up into, you know, his main goal as a character within, you know, the development of him becoming the Goat and whatnot. And me and my son definitely enjoyed it. It was a great movie. And you know, being animated as it was, you know, it definitely was a good watch for family and stuff, things like that.
So would Kid Kelly also have liked that?
Kid Kelly?
Good question.
Well, yes, because I grew up on the golden age of Saturday morning cartoons. Plop me in front of the TV and I'll be watching all of that. I'll be watching He-Man, G.I. Joe, the Smurfs, the whole nine. I think I would enjoy it myself. I mean, actually, it was a very good story, you know, The Goat. I really did enjoy it. Scream 7, I remember seeing the first one.
Yeah, me too.
In theaters, the first Scream. And that one, you know, it was a phenomenal age of movies where they opened up a whole new genre.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I definitely have to give it up. Seven of them?
I don't know.
But, hey, you know, they do what they do. People still do enjoy it. Enjoy the genre. Hey, why not? Go for it.
What about Zootopia?
I haven't seen Zootopia yet. I only think I saw partial part one, but but I think it was still, comparing it to goat, you know, animals walking around like humans. Oh my God, two-legged animals! No, I think they will still enjoy it.
I did see Zootopia Part 2.
Uh-huh.
I saw the first Zootopia. I thought the first Zootopia was a superior movie,
okay.
But this one was still entertaining enough. It's well worth it.
You think
it,
I like
right?
it?
No.
No. Okay. That's
so,
funny.
Speaking of screams,
that was really bad.
Moving on. From the Screaming Again department, none other than Neve Campbell has returned for Scream 7, and according to reports, has received a $7 million deal to return. Executive says, Neve Campbell is to Scream what Jamie Lee Curtis is to the original Halloween franchise. She is a big draw, especially for older generations who grew up with the original films.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those of you who don't care or weren't paying attention, Neve was absent from Scream 6 due to negotiations breaking down to the point where she went to social media to say that the company didn't respect her. At the time, she said,
As a woman, I have had to work extremely hard in my career to establish my value, especially when it comes to Scream. I felt the offer that was presented to me did not equate to the value I have brought to the franchise.
So, the studios moved on without her, and as reported on a previous episode of this show, Scream 6 had the biggest box office intake of the franchise since the original came out. So that's like, well, I guess we don't need her after all. Then, the celebration was short-lived as actresses Melissa Barrett was fired over social media messages. Co-star Jenna Ortega announced that she was no longer returning, citing, quote, scheduling conflicts. The director, Christopher Landon, left the project, and the studio spent an additional $500,000 on script rewrites, and without its two leads, they came with their tail between their legs and went back to Neve to come back for part 7. Experts say, initially, it was thought that the momentum from the two previous films could be lost, and there's certainly a section of the audience that is upset about who is not coming back. But now the pendulum is swinging and driving a lot of interest about how certain characters are coming back. Now, Jennifer, do you remember we were talking about how Neve stood her ground?
I do.
And she was like, I'm not going to come back
because give me the money. Yeah.
And then the movie The Gangbusters. So I was like, well, I guess she made a mistake. But obviously...
Right.
Circumstances and karma made it that they had to go begging back to her because they lost their two leads for undisclosed reasoning.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I always say they always come back. I had a company from 2 years ago. I was doing live streaming. Not going to mention the company. It's pretty major. They've been in the news. And they came back 2 weeks ago. They want me back live streaming. So it's like, you know, I think this is cool for her. And they're coming back to me because they lost their big star. That's part of it. You know, I'm sure they lost some other people. Then Neve Campbell, I think this is pretty cool because Neve Campbell, at least in my opinion, was a big draw. She did well. And she seems like a nice person from people I've heard. So I don't know what on with everyone else, but it's pretty cool that she's back and she's getting, you know, some respect here.
I think it's really cool that she stood her ground and she proved to be right. The circumstances made it happen, but still, I thought that's kind of cool that, you know, she had no knowledge that the other two were going to leave, that one was going to get in trouble for social media posts.
Right.
And the other one was like, yeah, I'm out because of some nonsense.
Well, what type of trouble did this
She said something about Gaza or Israel or something like that.
Oh, so she commented on the conflict. Okay.
Back then.
Okay.
And they were like, nope, we want you out. They fired her.
Oh.
And then Jenna Ortega was like, because they were really close on set, it's like, well, if you fire her, I'm not going to go. And but she said scheduling conflicts.
Oh.
So that way she was out. And then the director was getting...
You don't know if she was pro or against Gaza?
I don't know.
Okay.
But the director was getting hate mail because they thought that he was the one that fired the two leads.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm out. So they all came back to Neve. So,
what?
Yeah, it's crazy how that happened.
That is crazy. And it goes to show, I guess, don't have an opinion on anything going on in the world because you'll get fired.
That's what happened with the social media. It's a very big thing.
That's been going on for a long, long time.
Remember
that whole thing with the actress from Star Wars?
Gina Carano. Yeah.
You know, she just said a couple of things on social media on her main male thoughts, and then what happened?
Yep.
Disney.
They fired her.
And that was
and
it.
And then she sued them, and then she. But
she was going to get a spinoff. She won't, you know, and all this type of, you know, things that in the Star Wars lore, and then that, you know, just you say a few thoughts about what's in your head, and
you get cut. They did settle out of court because she sued him.
Yep.
So she got an undisclosed amount of money, and now she's fighting Ronda Rousey. So you know, it's kind of weird how things happen if you stand your ground.
Yeah, now she started her own production company. Yeah.
Oh, she did.
No.
Oh, she should.
She should. Whatever money she's getting.
Right.
So
do whatever she wants now. Say whatever she wants now.
Yeah,
so let's see.
Yeah, exactly.
So moving on from the I guess it's not a trilogy after all department.
Mm-hmm.
None other than Sony has quietly canceled the planned yet to be titled 28 Years Later sequel after both 28 Years Later and its sequel, 28 years later, The Bone Temple, both underperformed at the box office. One made $70.4 million on a $60 million budget, and the other just made $25.1 million so far.
Oh, wow.
Of note, those two movies were filmed back-to-back. Now, Kelly, I know you did see
yeah.
it 28 years later, and when you told me yeah. how crazy that movie was, I'm like, I want to go
it
see
would,
that.
It felt like they had like 20 different writers and 20 separate cubicles. They didn't know
really?
What they were doing. I mean, well, I'm going to say they know what they're doing. It's just that it felt like a mashup of like different, you know, different cooks and, you know, just throwing their own ingredients in the pot. And, it, you know, from act one to act two to act three, it was definitely, it was kind of different. And especially that last act, that third act, wow, that went to bonkers. It went like sky high a little bit there. And which led into the sequel. And
right.
I think that's probably was what the reason why it didn't do too well in the sequel, I'm assuming.
So you didn't see the 28 years
Bone Temple? I didn't bother it because I'm like, nah, I'm out.
you haven't seen the 28 years later?
No.
And the 28 years later is a sequel in and of itself to 28 days later and 28 weeks later.
Oh.
So I was hesitant okay. about going to see it because I wanted to make sure how it was connected to this movie. And based on what Kelly said,
yeah.
he's like, yeah, I wouldn't go see it, so I didn't see it.
Yeah,
I
don't want any spoilers.
Everybody
but,
else
yeah.
was like,
no,
I don't
now
see
I
want
to see
it.
No, but didn't they get rid of 28 weeks later? They kind of retconned it. I think they retconned it.
You're the one that's
no, all right, yeah. So they kind of retconned it with this 28 years later. I mean, 28 weeks, it doesn't even make any sense with this new addition to the lore. You know, there's like things that they put in there. They say that, you know, the people on the rampage zombie would definitely die off in 20. Sorry, spoils.
Spoilers from
28 weeks later. They said that you know after eventually in like 6 months to a year they'll just die off and die, you know, from starvation.
Right.
And look at that. That was 28 weeks later. Now we're 28 years later, and they're still dealing with the same issues. And not only that, they have different categories of rage zombies. You know, they got different versions of them. So I mean, it's. I liked it the first act. You know, again, like going back to the goat, you know, the father and son, seeing the movie, this was more like a father and son first act. You know, he's teaching his son out in the woods how to survive. That second and third act threw me off. And I'm not going to throw any more spoilers after that, but the first act is good. If you see the first act,
get up and walk out.
Get up and walk out. Get up and walk out.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you're pretty much good after that. If you're curious, then go watch it. You don't have nothing else to do on a Sunday afternoon while you're doing your laundry. You know, background noise. Yeah, go ahead and watch it.
The stories don't make sense to you? Like,
and the story, it just wasn't up to par. You know, it's just not what I expect. It got very cartoony toward act three. It got very
like unbelievable.
I mean, I'm a guy who watches anime, and that's very weird coming out of my mouth, you know. But it just got very cartoony.
When you say cartoony, like not believable?
Yeah, you know, it was just very animated. It was like Looney Tunes anime. You know what I mean? I mean, mark my life, but it came like kind of like a Power Ranger moment. I'll say that.
What?
You know, but other than that, it's just watch on your own leisure. Yeah. If you want to watch it, watch it. That's all.
And now I really want to see him. Now I'm sold.
Good bad movie night. Good bad movie
yeah,
night.
Exactly.
Get some popcorn. Why
exactly.
not? Do it. Do
yeah.
it.
Speaking of movie theaters, from the It Was Only a Matter of Time department, none other than AMC Theaters is now offering a new perk to its loyalty program members, priority seating.
Mm-hmm.
Executives say, later this year, we will introduce preferred premium seating, which will block off and reserve the best seats in the house throughout theaters to be accessed first by only our A-list and our Stub Premier Club members. That's the two VIP tiers within our Stub program, at no added charge. We will assure the best seats in the auditorium are held at first anyway for our best customers. We think it will be a great considerable consumer benefit for our most frequent guests will notice and greatly appreciate, further cementing their brand loyalty to AMC. AMC is exceptionally well positioned to capitalize on a recovering box office, and as I have said many times before, the not-so-secret formula to full box office recovery is a straightforward, we need more great movies from our studio partners. The program is expected to launch sometime this year, later this year, and of note, AMC did not define what qualifies as, quote, the best seats, but it is expected to be the center middle area of the theater. And for those who want to know, the members are paying $27.99 in New York and in California, with the rest of the country paying $25.99 for the service. Now, I have been saying this for years on how the movie theaters hate the movie companies that make the movies because they don't make the money off of that. They make money off of the concession stand.
Right.
And the movie theaters themselves has always been trying to figure out ways to make more money on the same thing. And one of the things that they started to do, which was people having the advanced seating. They get to pick your seat in the theater. Now, once that started to happen, I knew it was going to be only a matter of time before they start charging different prices for different seats. That's where I think everything is going. And based on this, it looks like that's exactly what's happening. Because now they have priority seating in the movie theater that's more valuable.
Right.
So now all of a sudden, we're going to have certain seats that this seat over here is going to be $10. That seat over there, $30, and then next to each other. I think it's a very slippery slope that we're on, and I think this is a bad move for our theaters. Jen?
How much is this? Is it to be part of the Stubbs program?
The Stubbs program is $27.99 in New York
a month.
California. Okay. And then the rest of the country is paying $25.
And then you also have to pay for the tickets.
And, well, yes, you pay for the monthly fee because that's how they get you.
Yeah, then
you got to go buy your ticket. And then because you buy
your
ticket...
So you're just paying the monthly fee for the ticket, for the seating?
You're getting one of the additional perks.
Because you get
other stuff, probably like discounts on food or what
and
have
you. And you also get points, too, if you want to, like, you know, if you get the points, you get, like, you know, free popcorn and soda with the points, things like that,
People love their points.
You know, well, this ain't no different than, like, buying tickets at a concert, either, you know what I mean? You know, like, I just looked the other day for the Stranger Things on Broadway, you know, I mean, and I'm, like, looking at the ticket prices, you know, all the way in the back, you're paying, like $108, but if you want to go in the middle or in the front, you're paying like $300 to $500 just to see them sweat on stage.
Right.
You know, I mean, like just the space is the same thing. But I get it. It's apples and oranges when it comes to it, because you're just going there to see a flick.
Yeah.
And also you're seeing people live performance, and I kind of get it. But the planning how it is, they're just trying to get into that same type of target when it comes to like, yeah, we can make a little more money if we charge more for the center seats. And I kind of get that, but nowadays, I mean, like, I, you know, in back in the days, I used to go to movies, like, maybe every weekend to see a new movie. Hollywood is not, I mean, just my point of view, you know, Hollywood is not producing the best movies lately. I'm not really feeling a lot of the stories that they're going out there, you know what I mean? And, you know, it just doesn't grasp me as much, you know, just you know, I mean, I think they just had the movie The Bride. That came out, and that flopped.
It did flop.
I think it did, like, they spent $90 million on the production, and then they only made $7 million and $13 million worldwide. am I saying this right?
That sounds about right.
So, you know, so, I mean, it's, you know, this... I'm not even, I'm kind of worried about this whole MCU with the Doomsday and the Doctor Doom movie. I know they're spending a good mint. It has to be close to $1 billion. So, how many actors they got in there? I think they got like 60 actors up in there, to my point right now.
I don't think that movie's going to be any good.
You know? I'm a little bit scared or whatnot. I'm more toward like the, watching more of like international movies, you know, and I like the animes and whatnot. I'm more geared toward that. If they have an anime in the movie theaters, I'll show support and pay for that, because I do know it's going to be a production and a story that I can actually be able to hear. It's been a while since, like, since I be able to relate, besides the GOAT I mentioned earlier.
Right.
And that was a cartoon. I mean,
right.
But anything that's live action, I'm kind of, like, skeptical a little bit on the story. I will probably wait till it goes on stream, which, you know, nowadays, it's going to be on stream in the next 3 weeks to a month.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would rather wait, because I'm paying for the prescriptions for the streaming.
Right.
Well, I'm going to spend like $100 to bring a whole family over and some for the food, and then when I could just stay at home and wait for streaming when it comes on. You know what I mean?
Very much.
But on top of that, would you pay an additional fee for different seats in the movie theater?
Would I pay?
Yeah, if there's a movie you really want to see.
I'm good sitting in the side out if it's cheaper. I mean, we're all seeing the same movie. We're all seeing the same movie. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know,
that's
it doesn't
really matter. You've all seen the same
movie.
We're
all seeing the same movie.
It's not like in a live
unless
performance,
they're gonna bring
depending
you
where you're seating, you can see different angles and stuff. It's a big screen.
Unless these seats become like first class on a plane, they bring you chicken francaise. You know, maybe you get chicken francaise.
Well,
if you go on the
first class. We've talked about Alamo Drafthouse, which actually has the quote-unquote dining experience,
okay,
where they have, like, waiters come and bring you food, and you don't have to get up, and there's no texting
and
talking. They're trying to do that.
Okay.
But still, if you're sitting on this seat, and that seat somebody else is taking, and the person next to you is $30 more, would you buy that extra seat? It just I think it's a bad precedence, and I don't think it's going to help the movies. What was your suggestion to help movies?
Massages at your seats or in the theater, drug dealing. But drug dealing could be, like, not bad drugs.
Not bad drugs.
Well, like sugar's a drug. Sugar to me.
So you have a sugar dealer?
Sugar's maybe more addictive than cocaine. They say Oreos are more addictive than cocaine. So lines of cocaine, lines of Oreos. Get Oreos in there, get cocaine in there, get marijuana in there.
You're going to have an Oreo seller on the
get
side.
Get GLP-1s, even though I'm against the GLP-1s.
Oreos.
Sure, whatever. You know, whatever will get them in. Get something that's going to entice them. Maybe Chinese food is highly addictive, especially if that MSG keeps coming back for more.
Chinese food.
Food is highly addictive. That MSG is highly addictive.
All right. So, would you pay extra for that?
Honestly, maybe. If I can get a massage, I would go.
Really?
I need a massage. Right. So, if I could get a massage, actually, I would more likely
I'll
go to the theater.
I'll pay for those side seats, but once the movie starts and I see a center seat empty,
you're going to run over there?
I'm running right over there.
Yeah. It's like, I remember my last baseball game I ever went to, years ago, before they tore down Shea Stadium. My friend had gotten tickets to go see a game. We were all the way up top. And it was such a bad game, and it didn't count. People started leaving. So throughout the game, we slowly moved all the way down.
Oh, yeah.
To see the game. So maybe that's how it's going to be. But then it comes into a fact of enforcing it. Like, if a person pays for a higher price, they're going to be like, oh, well, they moved over there.
Police.
Mark. You and me both worked at a movie theater, all right? You know those ushers not going to enforce that. They don't, unless they have some kind of God complex, but they don't.
Right.
They just want to do their job and go home. They see somebody moving in that seat, they're not going to do anything unless supervisors are walking around.
Exactly, why the NYPD, or a lot of them are going to be quitting with the way things are going, and they can come into the movie theaters and police the seating arrangements, and it'll be a lot safer.
They just want to do their job and go home.
So, come on.
Moving on.
Give these NYPD a day off.
Moving on for the last bit of news. From the AI Strikes Back sort of department, none other than Eline van der Velden, the, quote, creator of AI actress Tilly Norwood, has released a fully AI music video addressing the backlash of AI and her character. The music video starts off with a disclaimer. It reads, "The following production was made by 18 real humans, from producer designers to costume designers to prompters and editors and an actor." Eline says, "To those who have expressed anger over the creation of our AI character Tilly Norwood, she is not a replacement for human beings, but a creative work, a piece of art. Like many forms of art before her, she sparks conversation, and that in and of itself shows the power of creativity. I see AI as not a replacement for people, but as a new tool, a new paintbrush. Just as animation, puppetry, or CGI opening fresh possibilities without taking away from acting, AI offers another way to imagine and build stories. I'm an actor myself, and nothing, certainly not an AI character, can take away the craft of joy of the human performance." SAG, which is the Screen Actors Guild, says, "To be clear, Tilly Norwood is not an actor. It is a character generated by a computer program that was trained on the work of countless professional performers without the permission or compensation. It has no life experience to draw from, no emotion, and from what we've seen so far, audiences aren't interested in watching a computer-generated content unearthed from human experience." Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen the video.
All right.
It is as generic as possibly can be. I mean, I've seen AI stuff, and I think I'm able to see more. I can tell more that's AI. Because before, you couldn't tell for me. But now I'm like, that's AI. Yeah, that's AI. It wasn't any good. I actually didn't see the entire video. I was like, I had enough of this.
Okay.
But it's crazy that they're trying to force this thing, but by saying it's not what it is. Because what is actually the same, oh, it's not replacing anybody, it's not replacing jobs, it's not doing this. But that's what happens with all technology. When they introduced CGI, it replaced the people making the little figurines and stuff for movies.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting aspect that they went this far to make this character and then they made a music video about it. I think it's, once again, a bad idea of how to push this character forward. Jen, since you are a filmmaker, and you have said that you would use AI in some certain circumstances.
Under certain, think about it. Right. You have actors. When you have an actors, I just was producing a film at my house, February 25th. They're still cleaning up today. There's 10 shoot days, $500 a day, whatever. There you go. There's a lot of info I can share. I don't know. One day there's maybe 15 people in the house. Five girls, including me, had to be choreographed for a dance scene. So that's five personalities, five girls have to decide for lunch. One girl took like 10 minutes to figure out what she wants for lunch. For that alone, she should be fired. But I mean, you know, you have to deal with all the difficulties of different actors. And I think it's more interesting, let's say, just talking about the dance scene, the five girls, right? That was one shoot day. I think as a viewer, it would be more interesting to see real people mess up the dance moves, including me. I messed up, you know, we learned it right before. But I'm trying to think if there are any actors in this film that it would be, we could just replace them with AI. Okay, there was a concert scene. So in the concert scene, they had all these people who volunteered their time. Nobody was paid. I'm not the director. But those people were, they wanted to be in it. So they came to this Lucky 13 bar and they volunteered their time for like 5 hours and they danced in the club scene. But no offense to anyone, we could have probably replaced them with an AI crowd. And then these people could have done something else with their 5 hours and not come to Bushwick, Brooklyn, and not shared a bathroom, you know, for one person, and not gotten in the way of me doing makeup of the star, who can't really be replaced by AI, I don't think. But yeah, it's a crowd of people. They're barely in frame. Why do we need them there? No one's getting paid. Some people were enjoying themselves, I'm sure. A lot of them were, and it was gratifying on some level. So yeah, why do we need to waste everyone's time to come to Brooklyn in the snow in a freaking blizzard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just replace them with AI. It's not like they're getting paid anyway.
Kelly, what are your thoughts?
Well, just hearing that, reminded me of when Will Smith was doing like a music video.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And he had an audience in the concert. Yeah, yeah, AI crowd. And then he got caught out there because there was a couple words that was not making sense. It was kind of a very scribble scrabble and a few misshapen faces in the audience or whatever.
And he blamed his team.
Yeah, yeah.
Recently?
This was like about
a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
recently. Okay.
Yeah, it was not that recent.
It was a music video.
He was showing himself off. He's on stage, whatever. But he had an AI audience.
Yeah.
There was no one really there. It was just him on stage. Long story short, it's going to be a while till AI gets to the point nowadays you can still kind of tell a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I see some videos on my feed on like social media, and some of those things, you know, like I mentioned even earlier, which sometimes Hollywood not grasp me on some of the stories, can't grasp me a little bit. I saw a short, like, what if a McDonald's worker went to ancient Egypt and started his own McDonald's there. I mean, it was a very simple storyline, but it was all done by AI, and even got me a little interested that the Roman guards and all that kind of stuff. Ancient Egypt, you know, the Pharaoh would invite him over and make his own McDonald's and all this kind of thing. And then everybody get diabetes. Anyway.
Oh my God.
But long story short, I'm an artist. I know there's a lot of artists, people in my community that's not happy with AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the idea of, you know, being replaced, and I kind of get it. You know, I'm also a graphic designer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And this just gives, you know, people, ordinary normies, as we call them, the opportunity to become artists by utilizing AI. The only thing is that, you know, they're afraid of being replaced by AI, but I look at it more as a tool, really, to be honest. I dibble dabble a little bit of AI myself here and there, not for all my work and whatnot. I just trying to get used to the fact that this is going to happen regardless.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to try to fall back. Right. You know, I'm going to move forward and go along with the times. You know,
right.
Like you mentioned before, you know, there's a lot of things that came up, you know, like with the animations and the CGI, all those kind of things
mm-hmm.
replaced.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to fall back and still, like, rub sticks together
right.
and make fire.
Right.
I want to be the person who has a blowtorch and burn. So
right.
I just want to keep up with it. I'm not going to use it fully to my advantage. I just wanted to have it where I know that I can utilize it
yeah.
to certain things like references or just help me out with certain designs and layouts. I think, what's really going to happen is that it's going to get to a point where job-wise,
right.
and I tell my son, and I'm going to tell my other son as he get old enough too, I tell him, like, look, eventually, there's going to be a lot of jobs that's going to be limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, it's a lot of companies going to go toward, you know, you already see it, you know, at
mm-hmm.
McDonald's, you got the self-check
mm-hmm.
Kiosks and those kind of things. You got to get into a few job opportunities where it's, you know, you got to get into math, science, engineering,
mm-hmm.
and also, you know, get into some kind of like coding, you know what I mean? So you can get into those kind of workmanship because things are going to get very, very hard. A lot of jobs are going to be shut down. And if you don't get yourself in those kind of things, or at least medical or law,
yeah,
a lot of those things are going to be cut down. It's going to be very
yeah.
limited for you to find any type of work out there.
Right.
You know, even as unfortunately, I'll say, even as an actor as well. I mean,
oh, yeah.
you know, there's a lot of AI things I see where people are using your faces.
Yeah.
I think it's going to get to a point where, you know, they'll probably pay actors' families money. Can we use your likeness?
Oh, yeah.
Can we have permission
yeah.
to use your likeness?
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, even the guy who does Darth Vader's voice.
James Earl Jones.
They paid the family a good mint. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, they got a good inheritance
mm-hmm.
to use that voice for whatever they want to do in Disney.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, it's taking its time, but it's trickling slowly. We could
right.
do it fully now.
Right.
But we do know that, you know, there's going to be Rage Against the Machine if we just
yeah.
go hunk with it.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, I didn't mean to tap the table. But you have to keep going and try to perfect yourself more to adapt to this new
yes.
future that's ahead of us.
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
They're saying, I heard in a couple sources, they're saying last week we have 18 months before AI shifts things to the point where, like, you're seeing people you wouldn't normally expect in the last 20 years lose their jobs and be homeless. I will see what happens.
The one thing I want to say before we take our commercial break is that with AI, the biggest issue, I believe, is because they're not being compensated for it and it's stealing other people's work.
Right.
That's the problem. So
yeah.
if AI was paying whatever they needed to pay,
yeah.
everything would be fine. Everything would be great. Hey, we're going to use your stuff. Here's
yeah.
some money.
Yeah.
We're going to make an AI thing out of it. You get your
right.
fair compensation. But the problem is the consumers don't care,
mm-hmm.
and the consumers
mm-hmm.
also are like, I don't have to pay anybody. That's the point of having AI.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the two companies.
But how will you know who to pay? I mean, it's basically a whole chicken soup combination
yeah.
of different things that pulls out.
It's where they're getting it from.
Yeah.
So you have to pay wherever they're getting their sources.
Yeah.
So if you're
yeah.
on, you know, Bob's website, oh, I'm getting pulling from Bob's
yeah,
website.
Yeah, that's not
yeah.
always the case. Sometimes it's just
I know.
Free stuff that's online.
Well,
and
it's
just
yeah.
from
yeah.
It's free stuff online, like
yeah.
like piracy. It's kind
yeah.
of one of those things.
Yeah.
yeah.
So
yeah.
that is it for the news. We're going to take a
yeah.
quick break in front of a live studio audience.
Yay!
We'll be right back with more. It came from the radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com.
Hey everybody, this is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From The Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Hey, this is Billy West from Show Business. You're listening to It Came From The Radio. Get out. Get out.
Cosplayers, exhibitors, and celebrities, oh my! Stand by, Connecticut. Dragon's Realm Comic Con is coming March 21st, 22nd at the Danbury Sports Dome, located at 25 Shelter Rock Lane. It will be Danbury's only premier comic convention. This event is your one-stop shop for everything pop culture, featuring celebrity meet and greets, exhibitors selling the coolest products, various discussion panels, a gaming area, and of course, cosplay contests. Tickets will be sold at the door or get them online via TicketSpice.com. Link for tickets are on our Facebook and Instagram pages. Visit drcomiccon.com for more.
Now, back to our show.
And welcome back to the Came From the Radio, the official of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking in front of a live studio audience.
Yay!
At the East Meadow Public Library for our 102nd show. I just want to mention that the East Meadow Public Library has tons and tons of other programming, most of which is free, and one of which we're going to be talking about today. I am here with my co-host, Elman Jane Felding.
Thanks for having me.
And Mr. Kelly Gordon, who I always joke that it's his library. He's in charge of the library, and he's also in charge of the MCon itself.
Thank you for having me.
So, as I mentioned, we've been doing this is our 102nd live show, so that means we're over 8 years doing a live show at the library.
Oh, wow. You're welcome, Mark.
Yes, thank you. And you've been having the MCon for 16 years, right?
Yes, this will be our 16th
year. I've only missed the first MCon. I was not here for the very first one.
That's right.
And Jen, you've been here for a couple of MCons, right? A
couple, yeah.
Since Jen is, I guess for the three of us, the newest person to the environment, what were your thoughts of a convention in a library? What did you think when you first came here?
I thought it was really fun. I think people were really excited to be here, and the vibe was really positive and happy, and they had very creative costumes. That was really cool, and I went up to a bunch of people. I took their picture, and they were all excited. A lot of different art, including comic books and actual novel-type or fiction books and different, I guess you call them, like, different creations, different, like, statue-type figurines. It was just a day of creation, I would say. And I don't know, it was really cool to see mostly kids, I'd say, were dressed up, but there were some adults dressed up, and it was fun. And it was actually a lot more enjoyable than a really big Comic-Con. I'm not going to say the name, but there's a very big one. But I would rather go to this one. No offense to any big Comic-Cons.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
This is a lot more enjoyable. You could park here. It was easy. There were bathrooms. No one bumped into me. There aren't pickpockets.
What conventions did you go to that don't have bathrooms?
Sometimes you got to wait in line. Some of the big ones. And there's like people bumping into you. And it's just like you feel like you're in a sardine can. And that's not fun.
Okay.
This is like I can move my arms around.
You can breathe.
I can breathe. I don't feel uncomfortable, and I feel safe.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it.
So, yeah. Kelly,
yes.
Was that the goal? We have a person coming in. That's her take.
Yeah, it's not.
Person who's from the outside of the community. Was that your goal?
That's a small slice of the pie when it comes to the goals. The main goal was really when this idea came to me back in 2011. I used to run an anime club here at the library. They used to call me the Pied Piper. And the reason is because I would have 30-plus teenagers in the YA room on a Wednesday night, right? One of the largest teen programs, you know, which it was just mainly just us hanging out in the YA room discussing anime and mangas. So it clearly had like a demographic, target demographic for what we were looking for. They say that, since there's so much interest showing into this kind of pop culture phenomena, they asked me, you know, of course I used to go to New York Comic Con and different other conventions. They asked me, how would you like to run a convention here at the library? You know, I twiddled my thumbs, scratched my head, start saying, and then I said, all right, let's go for it. Let's do it. Obviously, we started small. It was a one-day event. We tried it out. We had, a variety of artists. Well, a small amount of artists. Not as large as it is now. And then we had cosplay contests, and we had some panels and some workshops, things of that nature. Very educational, learning every day at the East Meadow Public Library, indeed. And since it was such a great success, we decided to expand and do the two-day event the next year for the second one. That's the one I believe you came on to, Mark. And then we invited a lot more people to come in, you know, a lot more guests, more people from the cosplay community, more people that's in the pop culture community so they can network and discuss things with other people who they cannot reach. You know, it mainly was something to give to the community or our target audience to look forward to. You know, they were really into the anime, and it was something that they could, like, at least branch out on, or at least be able to learn how they can get into this kind of community, which, you know, you had to go to the city back in the days. You had to go all the way to the city to get these kind of things to be able to enjoy. But now we bring it here, and it gotten so huge. I mean, it got to a point where during our peak years, back in, 2016, 2018, it got to a point where we brought in a total of 4,800 people into the library.
Wow.
Here during the, those moments.
Wow.
Got so much, Mark, you already know, we actually had to rent a tent.
Oh my God.
Out in the lawn area outside by Front Street. Basically, we took over every nook and cranny of the library.
Wow.
I mean, you know, we actually had performances in the middle of the library in front of the front desk. As you're checking out a book or checking in, you see somebody on stage dancing.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun. Maybe for the staff, maybe not, but you know,
but
we all still enjoy it. And I do have to give it up to the admins and staff and everybody else here who backed me doing such a crazy event here at the library.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only library, to my knowledge, now on Long Island that does a 2-day event. Most libraries, which they have their own library convention, they'll probably either do a half a day to a full day event. We're the only one that do 2 days.
Yeah.
It used to be 2.5, because we used to do a pre-party on Friday nights.
Oh.
That got a little bit too much for me. I stopped that after after 2019.
Yeah.
I stopped doing the pre-party.
2 is a lot.
Yeah, 2 is enough.
3 is really a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you say you mentioned a lot of, like, you see adults there dressed up as whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny is that every MCON to me always seems like either like family reunion to me in a way, because a lot of the kids that I started with, that especially from my anime and manga club or even just regular followers, I see them grow up every year.
Oh. Cool.
And they still come to the event, and they enjoy the event. They look forward to the event. I love to see them. You know, they look like grown people, grown adults. It's like it makes Uncle Kel very happy.
Aww.
And I ask them how they're doing. They tell me they're in college now, or they're beyond college. They're looking into their careers already. And I love to see them graduate outside of the anime club, where they actually start their new life and things of that nature. And then I also love seeing the new kids, the new foundation coming in, and just growing the community a lot more into the MCON.
Yeah, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a music concert on the 26th, Eternal Hoshi.
Yes.
What is that? What's this music concert?
I found them on my Instagram, and they intrigued me, and I've been watching them for at least 2 years now, and I'm trying to figure out when would be a good time to invite them over. They're basically, if you're into anime and and also if you're into like rock music, and also, well, they do a nice good fusion of that. They play a lot of anime intro music, things like that. If you're one of your favorite animes, the intros, they come in, they get you gasp up and ready and pumped to see the next latest episode on One Punch Man. Just an example.
Okay.
So they'll play those kind of intros, and also a couple of original songs that they also play as well. You know, they're very friendly. They're very easy to talk to. And not only that, they're going to be performing here on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be here Sunday to do a meet and greet and whatnot and meet the fans or make new ones here with us. So I think everybody will enjoy themselves.
That's Sunday, April 26th at 3 p.m.
At 3 p.m.
is a concert.
That's correct.
You're going to charge for the seating in the auditorium?
I'm going to charge the center.
Exactly. Call back.
Yes.
Yeah.
But everything is free. The best part about MCON is free. A lot of people always, I still get calls asking how much it is to come to the. It's at the public library.
Yeah.
We're not going to charge. We're non-profit.
Right.
You know, we're here for the, you know, again, I'm tired of sounding like a broken record, but we are here for the community. We're a station hub site for the community. We're a lot of things, not besides MCON. We bring in a lot of programs, as you mentioned earlier, to help out and also give activities, great activities, so people can enjoy themselves here at this public building here. But, it's going to be like 2 days. We're going to have a variety of artists who get to come in and network. We're having a few authors coming in. I believe Carl
Polino.
Polino, he's going to be here. He's going to be promoting his comic book here. He was also a guest here and came from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was one of the producers to MTV Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if anyone remember or seen that. Who watched MTV back in the days? Anyone watch MTV?
Yes. All right. Yep, we got to go through.
All right. You know,
legendary.
And you remember Liquid Television and all that? I don't know if you remember the Claymation. You're probably too young for that. But they did have Claymation episodes of Celebrity Deathmatch, where they took celebrities and fight it off, whatever. So he's going to be here.
He made those things.
Yeah,
amazing.
And then we're going to have like a couple of authors like Francis Bonet.
Uh-huh.
He does does illustrations and stories for Archie comic books.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're into Archie, I know, I mean, who's not into Riverdale? Come on now. Jughead and Archie and all that. So, you know, I think a lot of people would enjoy seeing him. He does very well known, and he's a friendly guy to talk to. You know, you come in and you go ask him questions, he'll definitely answer them with no problems and whatnot. And you know, not only that, we're having a huge variety of artists coming in with different type of artworks, different types of like merchandising, things like that. It's going to be oodles of fun.
And you also have the Sesame Street lady?
That's right. You know, anyone into Abby? She's from the Sesame Street. Yeah, we're going to be having Leslie Kyra Rudolph. She's going to be here. I met her at another convention, believe it or not, Kids Comic Con in the Bronx. You know, she had her table right next to me. Very warm, friendly woman. I talked to her, and I say, I got to have you come to the library. Even if it's not for MCON, I think you'll be great just to have a great addition to come in, maybe for our children's programs or anything like that. She's going to be here, and not only that, she's going to be with you, Mark, at one of our first panels of the day on Saturday, April 25th at 12 o'clock. You're going to be doing Came From The Radio Q&A with her.
I am, yeah.
So, you know, and she's going to be out here, and she's going to be talking about her foundation. She does a lot of non-charity and non-profit work for cancer kids, things like that, too. So she's going to be promoting that. And, you know, we get to meet her at, one of her, her puppets here, too, as well. So she's going to be here.
And magician mentalist Robin Channing. He does, like, magic tricks. Mind reading, very interesting.
Yeah, we're having so much things going on. And let me just go down the list here, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're into cosplay, we're going to have Rizuki Cosplay, who I've been having her as a fan favorite every year, I think since, it has to be since like 2014, if not longer. She's going to be doing a cosplay, teaching people how to join the cosplay community and about clothing and costuming and whatnot. That's going to be on April 25th at 1 o'clock, right after your panel there, Mark. She's going to be downstairs in the Makerspace room. And then, as you mentioned, at 1:30 in the big, huge community room, we're going to be having Robin Channing. He's the mentalist and mind bender. Another guest of Mark Torres here at They Came From The Radio.
I wonder where I get them all from.
Yeah, so I mean, if you like magic tricks and things that make you go ooh and ah, and wondering how he bent that spoon with his mind, I would recommend definitely coming in. That's program, I definitely guarantee it's going to be a headbanger. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a good program. He always pretty much fills up the room every time he comes in, and then it's not his first rodeo with us, and he's going to be coming in, I believe, at 1:30, like I mentioned. And then if you're still into cosplay, we're going to have a huge popular cosplayer. When I met this man back at Eternal Con a few years back, I said to him, you're going to do things. You're going to do big, huge things, and I see that. His name is Sir Julius. He's going to be doing a cosplay panel at 2:15. He does a lot of 3D art where he makes his cosplay accessories along with his costumes. And as you see there, he has like that big, huge sword. He made that with a 3D printer, believe it or not.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, so he's going to be here, and he's like traveling all over. He's like heard all around the world. And your mama. He's like been to internationally known into like going to Japan and Tokyo, all these other places, doing judging and showing his work. So I knew he was going to go and be really huge. So I know definitely I had to grab him. And at 3 o'clock, we're going to have our Kids Junior Cosplay Contest. Kids can come in from 7 to 11, show off their costumes, see who can be number one, best in costume. And not only that, we're going to have Leslie, Abby from Sesame Street. She's going to be our guest judge, for that contest. We're going to have a nice little K-pop Demon Hunter little sing-along going on with that. So if the K-pop come through for that, that's going to be at 3 o'clock. And then we're going to end the day with that and then celebrate everything else going on during that day at the library. And after that, on Sunday, on the 26th, you get to meet Brimstone. Everybody loves Brimstone. I don't think he's mentioned it to there, but he is mentioned in the newsletter. He's a very well-known actor and mm-hmm. also a wrestler, believe mm-hmm. it or not. Mm-hmm. And he also does some voice acting. And, mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be here both days, believe it or not. Sorry, not just Sunday, both days. Mm-hmm. You get to meet Will Brimstone. That's going to be on Sunday on the 26th, April 26th. And then also we're going to have the concert that you mentioned, mm-hmm. Eternal Hoshi. That's going to be at 3 o'clock. And we're going to have our cosplay contest going on at the ending of that day, where we're going to do the judging, and then we're going to figure out who is the number one best in show for teens. That's mm-hmm. going to be from 17 to excuse
12.
Me.
12.
Yes, thank you. From 12 to 17, and then we're going to figure out who best in show for young adults 18 plus.
You mentioned free, which yes. is a very important thing.
Yes,
but
free.
Most of the conventions are a business.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how do you manage to run a very decent convention
right.
that's free?
Right.
How do you get the money? Where do you make the money from?
Grants, sponsorships. We also have basically a very known profit that we can spend for those kind of things, but mostly it's grants.
So does that make it easier or more difficult to make the convention, knowing that there's mm-hmm. no bottom line to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want the big leagues, if you want people coming traveling from Hollywood, yeah, it's a trouble, it's a problem with it. Well, but as long as you get the audience what they need and what they want is what they want is basically to enjoy themselves. What they need is to network with people that's in the community that they want to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to offer that as best as possible. I cannot always get that famous popular voice actor mm-hmm. or that famous popular actor himself. So that sometimes is a very challenging situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we do bring in the past, a lot of people that's in the industry, Brittany Lauder from JoJo Bizarro, Quentin Flynn, and Michelle Knotts from Pokemon. So we had a decent amount of voice actors come through here that's in the industry. People get to meet and greet and stuff like that nature. So I don't find it's challenging, but it's just as long as you work within the budget and you give the people what they want, and as long as everyone leaves with smiles and no one injured and hurt, I think it's a success for me.
So,
that's what I tell a lot of people. I have a lot of people that come to me who start their own convention at libraries. I'm actually going to be partaking in a library panel, believe it or not, starting your own convention at libraries with a few other people from other libraries. So they teach other libraries how to make their own. And I always tell them, don't look at the numbers, especially if this is your first year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's your first year. Don't look at the numbers. Just look at how many smiles are leaving or mm-hmm. coming in mm-hmm. and they're saying thank you. And mm-hmm. You get gratitude, and then no one's hurt. That's a successful day.
And people definitely look happy to be there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's yes. great vibes.
Yes,
for sure.
We got a good amount of followers, and I appreciate you all. And I always tell them, none of this would be possible without your participation.
So since the convention is free, you don't have anything to raffle away for the show.
Oh, right.
We do have 2 free tickets to the Long Island Trading Card Game Show. It's a 2-day show in Nassau Coliseum.
Nice.
Want to thank the LITCG guys for giving us 2 passes.
Mm-hmm.
And since you are our guest, Kelly, you get to...
And I get to keep the tickets?
Yeah,
maybe.
It's a good show. You guys will really enjoy it.
Charles?
Let me see it.
All right. We got a winner. All right.
All right.
Read it out.
376. 726.
726. We have a 726. All right.
Go ahead. There you go.
We'll take care of you
after
the end of the show. Congratulations. We're almost out of time. So, Kelly, final thought?
Final thoughts. Thank you for allowing me to promote, and I'm very honored to be the one of 2 guests. I have to say, when I grew up, I'm still growing. I never pictured myself doing things like this, starting my own convention, being an artist. I always wanted to be an artist when I was a kid, but I feel happy that, doing what you love, it's that one of the most blissful things in life, is when you do things that you love and you feel comfortable about yourself and love what you're doing.
Yeah.
Besides, friends and family and everything else, but doing what you love is the most blissful thing in life. And I always tell people, do what you love doing, do what your dream is, because life will be so much happier and less stressful for you.
Right.
blood pressure wise if you just go for the stars and do what you do.
Exactly.
Jen, final thought?
Pretty much same thoughts, but I've kind of cut out socializing. Like, I very rarely do it outside of work stuff since, like, 2023. And that, just doing that, it's a temporary, you know, sacrifice. I'm going to go back to that eventually, has allowed me, at least in the last few months, to, like, do what I love doing, and I can do what he's talking about because of that sacrifice to get there and not hanging out and not really seeing friends.
Well, with AI, you don't have to socialize anymore.
Yeah, right? No, I want to go back to friends. We got to have communities and all that. But
you got an AI community.
Yeah, you're right.
So my final thought is this. Thank you, Kelly, for not only having the convention, mm-hmm. but also taking care of us all these years for our live show. And it's a really good event. I really recommend it. And yeah. as I've been telling you for years, the fact that it's a free convention, it puts a lot of conventions that you pay to shame.
It does.
And it's really great way to bring the community together. And I hope for much continued success, and you keep on doing this for many years to come.
Yeah. People like it.
So that is it for our show for this week. We'll see you next time on this radio station if you missed any part of the show.
Tough.
Go to our website, www.itcameforyou.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Our next live convention in front of a live studio audience will be on 103rd show on April 8th, and we will have Kristen Gudznik. She has an author. She has her own comic. She'll be giving away a raffle of that, and we'll be giving away two passes to the Cradle Con. So that is it, and we'll see you all guys next time.
God bless Kelly Gordon. Thank you. All right, thanks,
guys. You've been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.